In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. St. Paul tells us today something that I suppose we think is axiomatic. That doesn't mean we always do it, but it's kind of like, yeah, of course, that's true. We then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. I suppose just about anybody, whether they're a believer or not, would say that that's good, a good ethical statement. But why? Why is it a good ethical statement? Actually, it's not an ethical statement. It's a statement that reflects who God is. That's not ethics. That's truth. We should bear the infirmities of the weak because God bears us. Because God does it. And we are to be like God. Christianity is not a belief system. Christianity is not an organization we belong to. It's not even things that we say that we believe. Christianity is life and how to live. And all life comes from God. Now, of course, we have belief because of how we live that God has revealed to us. We have belonging to the church through baptism. We have all of these things. But that is not the essence of Christianity. The essence of Christianity is to become like God. We were born to be like Him. That is what it means when the Lord says, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness," in Genesis. We're made in the image of God, and we must obtain the likeness of God by what we do and who we become and who we are. And then this statement, this order of St. Paul, reflects for us the essence of who God is. It's not an ethical statement. It is a natural statement based upon who God is. So we must do this, not because it's ordered, but because it is who we are. I think that's a good way to look upon the things that we do in life. Basically, let's be honest. If somebody tells you to do something, if they're more powerful than you in some way, they're your boss, or they could hurt you, or they have influence over people that you care about, or whatever thing there is that makes them in some way powerful, you'll do it. But when they're not around, you probably wouldn't do it if the only motivation is because they're more powerful than you. That is not our motivation for why we do good to others and why we should bear the infirmities of the weak. Our motivation should be because we're made in God's image and we are to obtain His likeness. And we, despite the fact that we deserve nothing, God has given us everything and even abides in us. And it is a great privilege to participate in the economy of God. That's what we're doing if we bear the infirmities of the weak. We are God's. The scripture says that. It's not an outrageous statement. The scripture says, "Ye are God's." This is what it means to do the work of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is no longer walking the earth making disciples. He's no longer walking the earth raising the dead, healing the sick, comforting those who need comforting. He has left that job to us. Perhaps not too many of us have raised the dead, although it has occurred. But we should definitely be comforting and be bearing the infirmities of the weak. And this is our privilege, to participate in the economy of God. This is how we should understand this order. not as one bestowed upon one with power over us, but one that comes from the innermost parts of our being. Now, that begs the question. We then that are strong, who are the strong? Are you strong? Well, I'll tell you what. You might consider yourself to be weak, but you're stronger than somebody. Now, the truly strong are those that measure up against Christ according to the measure of the stature of Christ. So they are, their passions have no sinful passions. They have faith, deep love, freedom from anger, being consistent in the way they live their lives, deep prayer. Those are the really strong. Okay, perhaps none of us would count ourselves among those people that strong. But we don't dare, I tell you this emphatically, none of us, not one of us in this room should dare consider ourselves to be too weak to bear the infirmities of the weak. Not one of us. Doesn't matter. We're all different folk here. We have all different abilities, all different problems we're going through. Some of us are doing good, and some of us maybe are not doing so good. Some of us have passions that we can't get rid of them. Some of us are doing pretty well. That's not important when you evaluate should you bear the infirmities of the weak, because this is an individual command. If you're strong, you bear the infirmities of the weak. You're called to do this. Nobody should think they're too weak. As a pastor, I find that too many people think they're too weak. None of you are too weak. None of you. Now, all of us should consider ourselves to be weak and should consider ourselves to be the unworthy servant, as the Lord told his apostles to think of when they had done something. We just did as we're commanded. We're just unworthy servants, or unprofitable servants, it might have said in Luke. So we should consider ourselves to be weak and unprofitable, but not too weak. That would actually be a blasphemy to consider yourself too weak. Because God will give you strength. And because you are called to be like God. Not just to believe something, but to be like Him. And He will give you the strength to be like Him. There's always somebody weaker than you. Always. Whether you know them or not. I remember some time ago, a good friend of mine sent a prayer request for a woman who was Orthodox, who was planning to get an abortion. I didn't know her personally. He gave me her name. She had gone, and in some places, a person can't get an abortion that day, like in this area. It has to go in and have a consultation. And then I think it's at least 24 or 48 hours later, something like that. Thank God for that delay, because that has caused many women to reconsider. So we prayed for this woman. And eventually it turned out that she did not reconsider. She came back and had the abortion. But that's bearing the infirmities of the weak. I still have her name in my diptychs. I still pray for her. That's an example of bearing the infirmities of the weak. Somebody I don't even know, except by name. So you should bear the infirmities of the weak at least by praying for whoever crosses your path. That's number one. Don't ever think you're too weak for that. That's a cop-out, and that's a blasphemy. Nobody's too weak. This command applies to all of us. St. Paul in another place says, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. So by bearing the burdens of the weak, you are fulfilling Christ's law. You are becoming like Christ. Very, very important. Now, there's other things that you can do to bear the burdens of the weak if you have the ability. I would say a good rule of thumb is this. There's stuff you can't do. Stuff I can't do, there's stuff you can't do. Let's be frank. Maybe you can't be patient very easily. Maybe you are not very consistent in your prayers or other such things. Okay, fine. But there's something you can do. And the important thing is this rule of thumb that will take you far through life. Do the stuff you can do. The stuff you can't do, you're going to learn to do, because God's going to help you to do it. But do the stuff you can do. Don't slack off on that stuff. Some people can remember, write down people's names and pray for them. You do that. You be that person then. Some people are very patient. They don't feel like they're very enlightening about talking about the faith. They don't know the scripture very well. Maybe they don't consider themselves to be a very spiritual person. But they can be patient and talk to somebody who's lonely. If you're that person, you better do that if you have that ability. Some people have the means to help people financially. Some people have the strength to help people in need. If you got the strength, you better use it. If you got the finances that could help people, you better use them. That's a good rule of thumb. That's very critical. This is how to live. This is how to have eternal life. Do the stuff you can do. Now, the stuff you can't do, well, you can't do the stuff you can't do until God teaches you, until you become stronger, until your passions are a little bit lower. And then you're able to do some of that stuff you couldn't do. That's why I say nobody's too weak. Nobody's too weak. Don't ever believe that about yourself. Don't ever think your problems are so big that you can't concentrate on anybody else. The idea that my plate's so full I can't take anything else, that's always wrong. Now, that doesn't mean that you should take on things that are beyond your strength. That's bound to fail, and that doesn't do you any good. It doesn't do anybody any good. But if you have the right attitude, that we have a great privilege to be Christians. And we have, because we're Christians, we do God's work. We are part of His economy. That means His action, His presence in the world. We bring Him to wherever we are. That's an incredible privilege to be like God. Remember that. That should really help you, even when you're thinking, my life is way too complicated. I can't do one more thing. I can't take care of one more person. I got to take care of myself. Now, there are certainly times when we need to be ministered to, and God will help us with those things. God will bring the person that we need, the consolation that we need. But the more you think about your needs and that your needs sort of excuse you from other people's needs, the more you're going to have needs. They're not going to go away. Because if you think of others, you are energizing the power of God within you. You can kind of think of not exactly a true way, but, you know, sort of as an analogy, that the power of God within you is an engine. But if you don't supply the engine with energy, it doesn't run. God gives you everything you need, but you must interact with God's grace. You must bear the burdens of the weak. And there's another reason, a deep theological reason that should permeate everything you do that is in St. Paul's command to us. God is love, right? The definition of God, one of the definitions of God is love. Love existed before all things because God existed before all things. And because of love, God created us and created the entire universe. And His Son became man so that we could become perfected and have union with Him. He did everything out of love for us. If we are to be united with God, we must love. And therefore, it is a great privilege to be able to act as God and to love, because to love is to be as perfectly godly as possible. There is no more perfect act in the universe than to love perfectly. And of course, if we bear the infirmities of the weak, that is perfect love. Now, perhaps we don't always do it perfectly. Let's be honest. We might help somebody, but kind of grumble about it inside. We might even talk to somebody about it. We might even think, why can't they just get on their feet? Why can't they just do that and this and everything? And those are all stupid human tricks. Just ignore that stuff. Just push it down. It's going to happen. It's a sin. But it's critical that you bear the infirmities of the weak, because God is love. That's why we should love our fellow man, because God is love. That's why we should forgive our fellow man, because forgiveness is one of the greatest signs of love. Which means it's to be like God. This is a very powerful statement St. Paul is making. This is the application of the entire gospel. In fact, a person could be stranded on a desert island, having never, ever read the scriptures, and a scrap of a Bible could come up with only this verse, and he could know the entire gospel. Because this is the gospel. It's not just that you are told to do things, it's that you are given the strength and the power to do things, because God loves you and loves everyone, and you are to become like him. It is a great privilege to do the work of God. So don't ever think yourself too weak to do the work of God, to bear the infirmities of the weak. None of us are too weak. Unless, of course, we tell ourselves we are and lie to ourselves that we are and then excuse ourselves from bearing the infirmities of the weak. Really, this is a cure-all for almost everything. If you have trouble with depression, if you think of others and help others, absolutely God will help you with depression. Now, there might be other causes, there might be other things to go. This is not necessarily that you go out and do good works to people and your depression will lift. But God will help you. There's no doubt about it. If there is some sadness in your life and you're having trouble getting over it, thinking about that thing that makes you sad is not going to make you less sad. But thinking of others, that will help alleviate the sadness. And if you have trouble with your sins, and if there's something that you wish to stop but you can't stop, maybe you wish to start something and you can't start, caring for others makes you open to the grace of God, and then everything can happen that is good. So this is critical. To consider yourself always strong enough to help somebody, whether it be praying for them, giving them a good word, listening to them, giving them counsel, whatever it is. Very, very important. Now, he goes on to say, St. Paul that is, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. We ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good edification. So what is this idea, not please yourselves? This is what energizes not to be able to care for those that are weaker than you. Your purpose in life is not to please yourself. That's not the goal of life. The goal of life is union with God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he didn't come to the earth to please himself. He put his hand to the plow and he never looked back. From the beginning of his life, his face was set to Jerusalem. He had one goal in life, to die. after teaching his apostles and equipping them, and then to rise from the dead so that they could live. That's all he cared about. Nothing else. He wasn't looking to please himself. It's kind of the golden rule, if you want to think of it that way. You should do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So really, you can think of what gives you pleasure, and it's a pretty good chance that what gives you pleasure will give other people's pleasure. So, you act in such a way to people as you would want to have them act to you. It doesn't matter if they reciprocate or not, that's not important. And the golden rule by no means is a so-called rule of attraction, that if you're good to people, they'll be good to you. There's no guarantee about that. But the reason why we do unto others as they would do as we would have them do unto us is because we are using our capacity to know what we want, what is pleasurable, and to apply it then to other people. Everybody wants to be treated with respect, with dignity, with love, with caring. That's pretty obvious stuff. And so, if we look and use this idea of what pleases us to please others, then we truly understand what St. Paul's command is and how to execute his command. Understand what gives you pleasure, but not pursue that single-mindedly, but understand that that gives you the gauge by which to treat your brother. Now, there is a question also. How do you change what pleases you? That's sometimes a tough thing. What if you suffer from selfishness? Laziness? How do you change that? How does that happen? Well, it doesn't just happen by you saying, well, you know, okay, I'm waking up today and I'm not going to be selfish or lazy. Well, you're probably going to fail. But if you change your mind, the way you think about life, then there you open yourself up to God's grace. And you start to care about things you didn't care about before and not care about things that you did care about before. You start to change what you desire. Not really so much by an act of your will saying, I'm not going to desire to manipulate people anymore. But God, by his grace, is going to change your soul to be softer and kinder. And the means by which this happens is you bear the infirmities of those weaker than you. You force yourself as best you can, even if it's just to pray. You could pray for people that are weaker than you and not gossip about them, you're already 90% of the way there. Those would be the two major things. If you're too weak to actually go out and help them, listen to them, counsel them, help them when every time you help them, they're going to end up not doing what they should have been doing. And if you're really not ready for that, at least you can pray for them and you can make sure not to gossip about them. And then God is going to really help you and your mind is going to change and you're going to become better in everything because the grace of God will have a place in you to stay. Basically, what you're doing is you're tilling the ground in your soul. I've given you this analogy many times. It's a very powerful one. The rain falls on the evil and the good. But we know what rain does in Texas in the middle of July. It runs off the ground. Not this year. This is an odd year. But most of the time, it runs off the ground into the gutter, and maybe just causes the ground to crack. The rain is not absorbed by the earth. because the earth is not ready for the rain. It's not soft and open and friable. This is what you are doing when you are helping the weak and thinking of other people, to whatever capacity you're able to think of other people. If you have that capacity, you got to use it. If you're a semi-selfish person, then that part of you that's not selfish had better be in action. And then your earth will open up. And the grace of God, which is all around, will have a place to stay. It won't just run off you. It'll be deep in your belly. And it'll be that spring of water that gives life to you and to everyone else. Brothers and sisters, we have such a great privilege being a Christian. There's no greater privilege. We can be like God. We can become like Him. All we need to do is open ourselves to Him. To the extent that you can open, do this. If you can't open perfectly, open imperfectly. And God will help you to be more perfect. It's a great principle. It's a wonderful day to be a Christian, to help another person, to care for another person above ourselves, to put another person first, because then we're acting like God. And God sees us, and His grace falls upon us and stays. May God help us to bear the infirmities of the weak and thus fulfill the gospel of Christ. Amen.